That's not funny, and it doesn't taste good. Cray-Ray, Dr. Clapp, and Furberger all like to use the word addiction for the SAD craving for fat, sugar, and salt. I hate that word. I don't have any idea what it means. Does it mean a physical need for something? Yet food, air, and water aren't addictions. Some say it's when there's a physical desire for something, when you need some substance or activity to feel normal. So alcohol, crack, heroin, video games, sex, and Facebook are all called addictions. My guys add in salt, sugar, and fat. Those sure are things that I desperately craved, and then when I cut them way down, the craving stopped. But addiction? We did a Penn and Teller bullshit episode about Alcoholics Anonymous. Sometimes on bullshit, we're accused of purposely using full-blown whack jobs to speak for the side we disagreed with. On that particular show, we had Gary Busey, and he never supported Trump for president. We made the points that AA is a way of having government-forced religion, and that even by their own figures, AA is no more effective than doing nothing. What really pissed us off, though, was the part of their program that insists on telling the heroes who lick alcoholism that they are powerless. It seems to me that when you kick an addiction, you should feel powerful. As we worked with the researchers on the show, we couldn't find a way to define addiction that really held up and made sense to us. We tried to do the whole show without really addressing that idea head on. So when my gurus used the word addiction, I bristled. It's a bullshit cult word to me. I guess they knew what they meant, but I don't. I certainly went through physical changes. During my potato weeks, I had some cravings for the diet I used to eat. But for the month or two before I started potatoes, I had already cleaned up my diet a little bit. I wasn't eating only pizza and donuts. It seems the people who start potato time directly from bacon and donuts have a harder time sticking with it. The first time I tasted celery after my potato famine, I was amazed that fucking celery, which is just water wrapped in dental floss, had real taste. It was even salty. If the definition of addiction includes developing a tolerance, then the salt, sugar, fat thing is certainly addiction. When I did my rare and appropriate, or was working with Bobby Flay and ate two bags of plain yellow Lay's potato chips, it was amazing how the salt just fried my mouth. It was really hard to eat, and the smell and taste of spoiled oil was sickening. Many years ago, I either read or made up that Americans loved their potato chips fried in oil that tasted a little spoiled. And I didn't really understand it. But after not eating for a while, it was sickening. After just a few months off black tar potato chips, I could understand the tolerance part of their definition of addiction. Cray-Ray told me that I had probably never felt real hunger before. I just felt craving. He was trying to explain to an addict that there's a difference between the way you need China White and the way you need air, even though it doesn't feel that way. You can't wean yourself off air, no matter what my distinguished colleague David Blaine claims on Oprah. What I used to call hunger wasn't really needing food. It wasn't really hunger. It was more like craving. After Cray-Ray, I came up with a test for hunger. If it's real hunger, I felt it in my throat. If it's craving, I felt it in my head and stomach. Real hunger is for any food. A yodel, an apple, flaxseed, or foie gras all seems just fine. Craving is for specific stuff like a double Whopper with cheese, my way, no tomato and extra mayonnaise, and even just something salty or sweet. I care about hunger now, but I don't care about craving. But these days it's easy. I don't really get cravings anymore. The addiction they talk about is the way I used to feel about sitcoms and pop music. When I was growing up, we had one TV in the house, and my mom, my dad, and I all watched it together. We watched situation comedies, and I loved them. Then, toward the end of high school, I started getting all counterculture. And in 1972, MASH came on, and everyone thought it was so hip and funny. And maybe just to rebel, I didn't think it was hip or funny. I watched a couple of episodes and didn't like it at all. My mom and dad didn't like it because it was too hip, and I didn't like it because it wasn't hip enough. I stopped watching TV. Before, I'd watch TV every evening with my mom and dad, but now I was out with friends, listening to music, talking, laughing, being pretentious, trying to get to concerts, and trying to get laid. TV fell away. After a few months of not watching situation comedies, there would come an evening when I wanted to hang with my mom and dad, and I'd sit down to watch TV with them like we used to. And what the fuck? What the fucking fuck? Situation comedies just sucked. I had lost my tolerance for laugh tracks and characters who never changed. I was reading a lot of books at the time, Vonnegut and Camus and Sartre, and there were ideas there. I was listening to Dylan and Zappa, and there were ideas there, but not in situation comedies. This was back before we all became unstuck in time with DVR and Netflix, and the goal of every situation comedy was to get into syndication. In syndication, writers couldn't count on people watching episodes in order. So characters couldn't ever change enough to make any random episode you happen to watch too jarring. Yeah, characters are added and went away and even died, but there are no real big emotional changes and no big plot, just big arc. It seemed empty to me after my heart-healthy books and music. The laugh tracks jarring and the close-ups that underlined every joke distracting. When I've been watching a series every week, the characters are like my friends. I cared about what happened to them. But coming in cold, they were actors wearing a lot of makeup and mugging for the camera, and with the same vanilla sex jokes and winking fart references. The Jones was gone, the blinders were off, and I saw situation comedies for the suck they were. Or maybe they weren't suck at all. Maybe they were great, but they just were an acquired taste, like blue cheese, sardines, and olives. You gotta learn to like that shit, and then learn to hate the addictive salt in it. When Seinfeld was on, everyone was watching. Everyone talked about how clever and hip it was. I know Jerry a little bit, and I really like him, and I love his stand-up. I watched 5 minutes of a situation comedy and couldn't stand it. Everyone loved The Simpsons, and P&T were even on it twice, and I couldn't be more proud. I don't watch it. I know some of the people who created the show and some of the writers, and they're funny, smart, and good, but I'd lost my taste for the form. Food is the same way. I loved bacon and donuts, and there just didn't seem to be anything that was too salty or too sweet for me. I was on board. I loved the laugh track and the obvious close-ups. Food doesn't seem like a habit, but comedy doesn't seem like a habit either. I could get myself back into watching situation comedies, but I don't want to bother. Why? I get so much more out of books and drama and hanging out with real friends. And I get back into sugar, salt, and fat, but I just don't want to. Vegetables are books. They have so much more variety and craziness, while also being more wholesome.